Welcome, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee meeting of March the 17th, which is a Monday. It's also St. Patrick's Day, and the year is 2008. We're happy that you are listening, paying attention to Pacifica governance. I note that we have a quorum of the committee members present, so this meeting is hereby called to order. I wonder if somebody... Okay, I'm looking at the agenda here. I think I'm going to call the roll right now. Nia Bediako.
Present.
Okay. Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
A.C. Bird is on his way. Ifia Nwangaza.
Present.
Sarv Rwandawa.
Here.
And Jack Van Aken is present. Also present, we have our HR Director, Dominga Estrada. You there?
Hi, yeah.
Okay, and our Chief Financial Officer, Lonnie Hicks. Lonnie, you there?
Here.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask if anyone would like to serve as timekeeper. Keep time on the items.
I can do that, Jack.
This okay. Sarv. Great, Sarv. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And I sent some minutes out earlier today. It was this morning. Did everybody get a chance to look at them, I suppose? Maybe Sarv.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Let me see. What's the title?
The title is Draft Minutes PNB Personnel Committee 311.
I didn't send it back to myself. Anyway, would anyone like an opportunity to review those minutes? Okay. Don't hear anyone wanting to. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes. Does anyone object to approving the minutes? Okay. Hearing no objection, the minutes are approved. 5:17 p.m. Thank you. Moving on to the agenda. Proposed agenda. Item one, scheduling next meeting. Item two, CFO job description summary by Lonnie Hicks. I'm suggesting 40 minutes. That's about what we gave Nicole for her job description. And then follow that with about a 20-minute opportunity for Nicole, if she makes it here, to offer any of her observations. This would be mirroring our prior meeting over the ED job description. Next steps. This is an item where what I think the committee needs to do is decide where we want to go and what we want to do, and hopefully we can present something to the PNB in Houston for board approval. And I suggest as a starting point the three choices that Dominga had written up in her report, and add to it a fourth choice for the CFO job description, which would be to keep that document or approve that document so there's no question about it as the CFO job description by the board. The document which is apparently the original for all these subsequent edits. And so I'm giving that item 20 minutes. It's not to come to any decision now about what we'll present to Houston, but to make that probably would be a closed session of our next meeting. And then an item from our prior session, which was a closed session and was ruled out of order as appropriate for open session, would be a motion on the GM search pool establishing, I think, a minimum criterion for what constitutes a poll, which is from Nia Bediako. I'm hoping we can do that in 10 minutes. And what I would like to recommend is that we set a time certain for adjournment, which would be, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Pacific Time and is 9 p.m. Central Time. Is there any comment on setting a time certain for adjournment?
I move to set the adjournment time at 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time.
I second that, because I have another meeting right at 10.
Okay, that's true. The Yeah, the committee to investigate is following right on this meeting, and they have important business to do as well. Okay, is there any objection to setting 10 p.m. Eastern time as a time certain for adjournment? Hearing no objection, that's approved. And if scheduling next meeting, I always get mixed up on these first little bitty items. I think we need to schedule a closed session before April 10th. And hopefully this won't be a long meeting either. And I'm looking at the KPFTX calendar. And Nia, have you made a decision yet on the audit committee? Because Thursday, April 3rd comes up. And I know you were considering that date for audit.
Yeah. Evelyn? I think I have Evelyn left.
Right. I answered you. I said that I can't do April 3rd.
Oh, you can't do April 3rd. Okay.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Evelyn. I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
Okay. How about Monday, April 7th?
April 4th would be fine.
April 4th, Friday?
Yeah.
How do people feel about Friday, April 4th?
No, that's not possible. That's the 40th anniversary of the murder of Martin Luther King and then
National. Right, we've heard about that. How about Monday the 7th?
Okay, I can do that.
Monday the 7th? Anyone who cannot make Monday the 7th? Okay, well, I think that would give us a little breathing room before we go to Houston, those of us that have to go there. Some of us are already there.
That's at 8 o'clock.
That would be, Sarv is having a hard time making it right at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 8 your time. What about 8:30?
8:30.
How do people feel?
8:15?
8:15?
Okay. I can do 8:30.
8:30.
Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah, can I buy you something to 8:30?
No bribe.
That sounds a little like bribery.
Okay.
can we agree on 8:30 Friday?
Yeah, that's fine. That's
Friday the 7th. Okay, great. And we can get that up onto KPFTX. Okay, and moving right along, number two, CFO job description, following our protocol from the prior meeting over the ED job description. Somebody trying to say something? Okay. We'll have Lonnie, if you don't mind, give us a summary of the points, objections, suggestions you've made in that document that's CFO job description Lonnie edits. And I recognize you would prefer that other document to this one, but these are suggestions after Nicole had made suggestions to Dominguez. Draft.
Chair, this is Nia.
Nia, go ahead.
Could you please go to the exact date and time that you said that?
Yeah, I'm looking for it here. I sent it out this afternoon. It should say it's 4:34 p.m. Pacific time, so that could be 7:34 Eastern time. CFO job description, Lonnie edits.
Dominga edits.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay. I just opened it. Thank you.
Okay, great.
This is if there was a it seems to be a fourth or maybe a fourth document that had a description.
Yeah, there are four total documents plus a text document that Lonnie sent, which overlaps with the document called job description on file.
Okay, now do we have all of those documents? Do we have them?
Yeah, I've sent them all out, and I've sent you copies of everything in text format.
Okay.
So it should be in the body of your email.
Thank you.
Can I find information?
Okay, Sarv, go ahead.
I'm looking at Lonnie's edits.
Yeah.
In that document, there are three different colors.
Yes.
There's red, there's blue, and
yes.
then there is green.
Yes. I can explain.
Okay.
Okay, the blue came first. Those are Dominguez edits to the whatever the document is that's the original. So we're really working off of Dominguez edit of that document. It may have been the higher letter. So the blue is Dominguez. The green then was subsequent, and that's Nicole's editing. The green is Nicole, and then the red is Lonnie's. And it says here, items in red in parentheses to be deleted. So is everybody clear on what the different colors mean?
Blue is Dominguez.
Yes.
Blue
is
Dominguez.
Okay.
Okay, and green is Nicole.
Okay.
AC.
Oh, AC, you're here. Great. Okay.
So, one information, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Sarv.
So if there's something in green that's crossed, that means is that acceptable to the CFO? The only thing that's not acceptable to the CFO is the one in red?
Yeah, Lonnie's edits are in red. If there's a green and it's crossed out, that should be something that Nicole wanted crossed out. So it
and
represents her will to
and
cross that out.
Acceptable to Lonnie then?
Well, we'll have to ask Lonnie.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said, reiterate one more time, Lonnie prefers the document that all of this is based on, whatever that is. At least I think I'm correct. What he sent out, which I've retitled Lonnie's preferred job description, is what I understand. You prefer Lonnie, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, well, Lonnie, without further ado, would you like to start off down the page?
Okay, which one are we working from?
This is the one that's called Lonnie's Edits. Job description, Lonnie's Edits in red.
Okay, I'm looking.
Sent out 4:34 p.m. Pacific time.
I thought I had it here. Hold on. Okay. I see. Lonnie edits. Here we go. Okay. Ready to go.
Okay, great. Take it away.
I think, didn't we do this last time? Let's start from there. If I could, how much time are we talking about? 40 minutes?
Well, we have 40 minutes. You don't have to take 40 minutes if you don't want.
Okay. Well, I think that I'd like to just preface why I made the edits I did. And the reason basically is that I do believe that the CFO position and the ED position ought to be separated, finance from administration. That's a very common kind of organizational pattern in organizations, especially large ones. If you're in a smaller nonprofit, they usually can't afford to hire a separate CFO. So the ED usually supervises everybody in small nonprofits. But in large nonprofits, that's not the pattern. So the larger pattern is that for purposes of internal control, you separate the finance function from the administration function. And generally, that's the ED from the CFO. My point of view is that we ought to maintain the intent and spirit of the bylaws. But build in that the bylaws provide for information and close collaboration between the ED position and the CFO. And that the bylaws apparently did anticipate that. And so my initial suggestion is that the bylaws already state under Article 9, Section 9B, that the ED and the board can ask for any and all financial information upon request. And I think that that provides, first of all, four issues of information. So that folks need information, they can feel assured that they can get it. The other issue is around, well, if there is a issue around finances, who gets to decide how money is spent? I think that's a false dichotomy in lots of ways, because the board has decided through the budget process how money is to be spent. And basically, it's given with the current sort of procedures we're working with, the ED has sort of like a 10% latitude in making changes to budgets. And so there's a whole process set up whereby it goes through the finance committee and then onto the board if the the changes are large and significant. Other than that, the process we have in place is that it just goes through a notification process to the LSB and to the finance committee. If there are large differences in terms of how and what the budget ought to be, then the process is that it goes before the board, and the board says, well, we might want to spend something that's not in the budget and it's significant and important, then the board would look at a proposed change in the budget. So I think the processes are already in place for the two positions to work together and through the board. So my preferred is to not to have the CFO position report to the ED. I think they're real problems in two different ways. One of them is that that was the way it was before the take back. And when I came in and looked through Pacifica's books, one of the things that was really clear was that the ED was able to spend enormous sums of money without the board's knowledge because there was no independent reporting mechanism because the controller at that time reported to the ED. And that works if the controller feels comfortable reporting to the board about ED or GM expenses. And that system didn't really work. The system we have now is not just between the ED and the CFO. It's embedded in all of Pacifica. We have the same relationship going between the business manager at a local station and the general manager, where they both have different jobs. One is to manage the finances and ensure the board that expenses are according to the board's wishes. And the other, the general manager and the ED, are trying to get work done. They're trying to bring up programming, and they have a legitimate interest in trying to get that done with as much flexibility as possible. So I think that the two reporting arrangements do work, and it worked, I think, for the following reasons. When we had the take-back period, we had a $4.4 million deficit. And how do you retire that much debt? The ED at that time felt, well, the station's already overburdened. We can't really put that sort of fundraising obligation on them. But as CFO, I had a slightly different point of view, and we just worked it out in terms of the stations would take a quarter of it, and I would work through finance means to retire another $1 million or a quarter of it through the insurance companies. So the point I'm making is that the systems worked. But anyway, on the job description, looking at blue, I would say delete the word both, and the foundation's executive director, that is, reports directly to the NASH Pacifica National Board of Directors as identified in the bylaws. That's how it's written. Then under the other she shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed, I would be directed from time to time.
Where are you
the CFO shall render to the executive director and the board an account of his or her all transactions. That is out of the bylaws, and I have no objection to that whatsoever. I think that's a good thing to do.
Lonnie, where are you reading here?
I'm reading from first paragraph that's in blue.
Uh-huh.
And my suggestion is delete both, and also the words and the foundation's executive director as the person that the CFO reports. The CFO reports to the national board. It would be the way I think it should go.
Lonnie, can I just be clear? Did you say, and you would reinsert from time to time?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Because some of the things were taken out of the CFO job description that I think should be put back in. And where that is the case, I have the word reinsert.
Ah.
And then you go down to the definition paragraph, nonprofit providing educational services and so forth. Actually, It says corporation services are provided in Berkeley, North Hollywood, Washington. I guess that's accurate. Anyway, going down to the next paragraph, the chief financial officer oversees the organization's financial goals and objectives. What has been taken out is the green language, green dialogue, which says the investment of funds and manage the associated risks, supervise cash management activities and direct financial operations, including payroll, internal controls, auditing, et cetera. Well, that's the heart of the CFO's job. That's the heart of any CFO's job, to take it out of the CFO job description. And who would pick that up? And so I believe that that is not properly taken out. That would be tantamount to firing your CFO, because that particular is the job of why a CFO was hired, to manage those things. That's not a bookkeeping job where you're just something that a controller does. This is what a CFO does. A CFO manages the higher level functions, including doing the budgets, managing portfolios and cash. Most big bookkeepers don't do that. They're not trained to do that. They're not generally MBA.
Fun information.
Yeah.
Lonnie, could you write that where it says reinsert this in the heart of the CFO's job? Could you write that in red so that we know it's yours?
Let me clarify. I don't think that, I mean, I'm not sure Lonnie has a document there that he can edit and send off.
I just did it.
Oh, okay.
Could you send us a document which says that in red, those are the ones that your edits?
Okay. It is confusing, isn't it?
It's very confusing.
So I think that that ought to be put back, and it belongs in the CFO job description. Managing invested funds, risks, not to mention cash management, a critical function. Internal controls, that is to say, making sure that there are adequate internal controls at the stations, not to mention the national office, where you know that funds are not somehow drifting away or being spent inappropriately, and that the network can pass an audit. If the books in the network are not auditable, that is, follow those strict accounting rules that an auditor will insist upon, then we're effectively out of business with books that are not auditable. So there are a lot of technical and technicalities that have to be adhered to in order to pass audit each year. We have at least six regulatory agencies that regulate what we do, and it's a lot of detail. And everything from pension law to the unemployment law to IRS law to CPB funding to federal law to accounting guidelines, all of that has to be accurate and correct. And it's a full-time job, obviously. There is the bylaw language, which then follows from that, to keep and maintain adequate and correct books, et cetera. The next paragraph, where in, I guess that's bluish teal, I would suggest that be reinserted. He, she shall protect the assets of the organization. Yeah, what CFO would not be charged with protecting the assets of the organization? And it's in the bylaws as a specific responsibility of the CFO. I'm puzzled as to why that would be taken out. It's in the bylaws. It's in the CFO job description, both. Going down to duties and responsibility, paragraph 2, prepare financial reports and analyses at least quarterly and make presentations. I insert 2 for the word 4, because 4 may imply a reporting or a relationship, and 2 is slightly different. Report to the board and to the executive director. I don't have a problem with that. 4 is a slightly different edit that was placed there. So I would replace 4 with 2, and then I would reinsert the National Board Finance Committee. Because I have to report to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee is the board's subcommittee through which the board interfaces with me and, to some extent, the stations. So the Finance Committee is an important assignment for the CFO, because it is the board's way of having the detail work of looking at budgets and looking at the finances of the network in that venue, that is to say, the Finance Committee. So I would insert the National Board Finance Committee. The next area would be item number four.
Excuse
I would insert collaborate with other members of the senior management team on financial and fundraising priorities. So I would put that back in as a reinsertion.
Just a minute, Lonnie. Nia, was that you?
Yes, please. That I don't know about everybody else, but the document that I have goes no further than duties and responsibilities, and there are only two.
Oh, boy.
Right there.
That's not right. Is this a document with red, blue, and green on it?
Yeah.
You sure? Because does anyone else have that problem?
There should be a third page, Nia.
I'll go to what's attached.
I'll attach one.
Okay. The attachment has the four pages, but what was cut and pasted doesn't. Okay, no problem.
Oh,
I got it.
Okay. Good. Maybe I didn't get it all in the cut paste. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lonnie.
So that is a part of the original job description. So rather than have it cut out, I'd like to have it reinserted. Number five is the same as the original. Number six was cut out. Well, and I'm suggesting a reinsertion. Assist with the hire of local station business managers and other senior staff as necessary. Now, why that's important is that some stations have real turnover in their business managers. For example, KPFK had three business managers in a year and a half. And what happens is that the national staff, our county staff, we can't have a $4 million station come to a halt because the business manager either leaves or isn't hired in a timely way. So we take over doing the books at these stations and train the new people in order to keep the station going, to make sure that people get paid, that IRS rules are followed. So assisting with a hire is critical because we give these folks tests, accounting tests, to make sure that they're going to be adequate to the task of being a business manager at a station. So that's what happens with the assisting. And general managers are happy. We have a little test we've drawn up for those folks to make sure they have the knowledge base to do well at a station.
This is Evelyn.
Okay, Evelyn, go ahead.
In number eight, I see where Dominga added the hiring of local to number eight.
Assist with hiring of local
station business managers.
Yeah, Dominga moved it, I think.
Oh, it's down there. Okay. And it's critical because we have one station where people are not adequate to the accounting. That you're talking about a network that's doubled its size in about the last 6 or 7 years. And
you didn't take it out.
At least we were $1.8 million in business support. Now we're $14 million. So we're not a small nonprofit. We're huge. We're in the 1% of, in terms of the size of nonprofits. The average nonprofit is $500,000, $600,000. We're in the 1% in terms of our size and complexity, and we are complex. So having a good, strong finance structure is critical. Both at the station level and the national level. And we are the sort of payroll people of last resort. If a station can't make payroll, we, as an arm of the board, remember the national office is an arm of the board, and therefore has same responsibilities as the board does. We are the arm of the board. So if a station can't make payroll, we have to scrounge around and find money for payroll. If a station's business manager isn't performing, we either do that work ourselves, or we have to be sure that whoever does it at the station is competent. And it's critical in the area of cash management, critical in the area of budgeting, because we are a seasonal business. And managing a drive proceeds over 3 months is not easy, because we're not fat cats at Pacifica. So we are trained, we support, we help, and we're the payer of last resort for stations that may not have the money to pay their bills in a given month because the drive went badly. Well, what happens is we have to work with those business managers. First, we pay for the station, and then we work with the business managers to revamp those budgets in order to recoup the funds that didn't come in through the fund drive. They were short, $50,000 or $100,000. Well, that problem doesn't go away. You have to really start right away working with stations, saying, how are you going to recoup the $100,000 that the drive didn't produce? That means going back to budgeting, looking at expenses, trying to cut where you can in order to keep the budget balanced. So the business managers are a critical component of this whole CFO.
Okay. Lonnie, if I could just interrupt for a second. I've been comparing documents, and it looks to me, and I'm not certain, but it looks like some of those items in green were not actually strike-throughs but were additions by Nicole. And I'll just specifically, she shall protect the assets of the organization and meet all standards of transparency and accounting principles as befits a nonprofit organization. I believe she added that. It may be bylaws language. I'm not sure. But I think that was actually not a strike-through. But the important thing is we get your intent that
okay.
you kept in. And also about reporting to the Finance Committee and also the word collaborate. Those seem to have been additions. Anyway, but the two strike-throughs, number 6 and number 7, do seem to be strike-throughs. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would reinsert item number 7, moving on to the investment portfolio. I think that's absolutely essential to manage those portfolios. Otherwise, you get a sense, you get a situation where a given station can place funds in an investment portfolio and no one would know about it unless it was somehow centralized and everyone could see where the funds were going. Suppose a donor came up and gave $1 million, for example, and if a station were to take those funds and put them in a money market fund without booking them, then that would effectively shield from the board an important sum of money that no one would know about. And that happened. That has actually happened, not $1 million. So you have to have internal controls where that can't happen and everything indeed is transparent. And because what goes in the investment portfolio is just as important as what goes into operating or what goes into the receipts from a fund drive. And unfortunately, the way we have set up finances at the network, say if a station gets $1 million, you have to have internal controls or that will get recorded. Otherwise, it could simply be a case. You get a check for $1 million in the mail, and you simply don't record it. You don't put it in the books at the station level. You simply leave it in a, say, in a lockbox or put it in your desk, and it could sit there. And you could, in fact, open up another account in someone else's name or another organization's name, and you have an embezzlement situation. So it's critical. Remember, we don't get the original documents at the station level, I mean at the national office. So we have to check everything and see what's going on. So sometimes it makes us look like we're sort of Scrooge types, but that's part of the job, just ensuring that all of the funds do come in and are properly recorded for the board to know how much money is really in every pot of money, the operating, the investments, the proceeds from the fund drive, some donor that may walk in with a $25,000 check. That all of that is properly recorded, and we have ways of checking that every month to make sure that everything is properly recorded. Very important function. Then I'm going out a little bit more, moving down to item 10. It says, in, under the direction of, I would delete that and say, in collaboration with the executive director.
Okay. You would
and under the direction of the Pacifico National Board. This is all real estate investment funds. So I think that it has certainly worked with the executive director. But it is
someone trying to ask a question?
Yeah.
I keep hearing noise in the background.
No, I'm going to recognize Sarv as soon as just a
okay.
Lonnie can say that thought.
I wasn't able to hear Lonnie because... Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yeah, the language that was there was under the management of Pacifica Assets, Real Estate, and Investment Funds would be under the direction of the executive director. Well, I don't think that's proper. It should be in collaboration with the executive director, but under the direction of the Pacifica National Board. Only the board can move assets around and direct the use of those assets.
Okay, Lonnie, I have a question from Sarv. Sarv?
My question was that in item 6 and 7, the whole paragraph had been crossed out.
Yes.
And who crossed that out? That even the reinsert is crossed out.
Yeah, I didn't cross that out.
It's all in black. It's all in black. All
yeah.
I thought was there was red color, there was blue color, there was green color.
Sarv,
who's striking this black color?
Sarv, it's Dominga. I crossed those out, and I tried to make them one under eight. So if you read eight, it does speak to Lonnie helping with the or assisting with the hiring of local business managers.
That's just one part. But the other part, how about the other part?
The administrator of the organizations. I have to look. I'm looking at the Lonnie edits version, so I'd have to look at it again to see exactly who.
That's the one. Oh, I see. You need to go back in order to see.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
I just wanted to make clear that I moved things around, so sometimes, like with the assisting of local hiring, of hiring local station business managers.
That's okay. Nothing wrong
with
that.
Right. It appears to be gone, but it actually appears in another paragraph.
That's okay, but my concern is that when a certain color, you make changes, then we want to follow them through.
Right.
And please use the same color if you're deleting or removing or whatever.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll try to figure out who did that. Okay, go on, Lonnie.
Let's see, we are under 11. I spoke to 10. 11 looks fine. Under 12, it says provide financial leadership. Somebody put advice. And it says, and financial transparency. Well, financial transparency is such a buzzword. It's fine, you know, what that means. So I said, let's go with the original language. Provide financial leadership and advice for the network working with the executive director and national board of directors. Because nobody knows what that means. And it also is such a buzzword. And if it's not defined, then it will cause problems. Some folks will say, oh, CFO reports are very transparent. Some people will say they're not, and then you're into a job description thing that's very difficult to resolve in an evaluation setting. And then number 13.
Okay, before you get to that, I think I've solved the done some archaeology here with the documents. And number 7, it looks like it was Nicole who crossed that out. Number 6 was crossed out by Dominga, and I believe number 7 was crossed out by Nicole. And they're both in black, so it's hard to tell.
And I put reinsert because I felt they needed to be back in there.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, go ahead then.
Now we got 13. This is new. This is not in any job description. It's the first time I've seen this. Ensure that the foundation has the most current financial infrastructure available, especially ensuring efficiency planning, risk management, and financial protocols. Well, that's a mouthful, and all of those things mean an awful lot. Let's take them through. You see what I mean? Financial infrastructure involves very, very many components. It involves your software. It involves your pension plan. It involves your EDD, your IRS protocols, an awful lot involved in infrastructure, not to mention job descriptions for business managers and GMs and internal controls. Accounting manual, the financial policies and procedures manual, all of that is involved in financial infrastructure. And some of that is addressed in that financial policies and procedures manual. But then you go with specifically ensuring efficiency. Well, what's going to be the definition of efficient or planning or risk management and financial protocols? These are words that are very vague and undefined. So I would be for striking 13. Master's degree in business and more than 10 years related experience. That's what I came to Pacifica with, more than 10 years MBA. Understanding of U.S. generally accepted accounting practices. Ability to express and demonstrate to others the requirements and necessity for complying. That's unusual language. Knowledge and application generally accepted accounting practices, what an auditor does. An auditor says these books demonstrate a knowledge of good accounting. And that's what an audit is for, to assure the board that decent, and accounting standards are in use at a given network or agency. So I don't think and demonstrate to whom. It says to others. Well, the one that the board has designated that it will be demonstrated to is the auditor, and, of course, any board member that wants to see how documents are done. And so I don't see the necessity for having that language, and the necessity of the language just seems gratuitous in a way. Down below, candidate will have demonstrated familiarity with all stages of SEC. We don't do SEC reporting. I mean, that's from somewhere else. SEC reporting is for Securities Exchange Commission, and we don't interface with those folks. So that's just gratuitous language. Sarbanes-Oxley refers to the Enron law that was passed, where you have the CFO sign off on all documents coming to the board, assuring the board that we've been talking about financial integrity, and where the executive director also has a line of responsibility directly to the board, not just the executive director, but they've added the CFO as a critical person to sign off on documents. The board wants that assurance that the executive director is following the rules, the financial rules. Now, Sarbanes-Oxley was originally for publicly traded companies. We're not publicly traded. We're not related to SEC. That's what the SEC refers to. So this language is archaic. But in California, not large nonprofits like us, sometimes you hear in certain professional associations that maybe we ought to have a California version for nonprofits of Sarbanes. And the rest of these are FASB, F-A-S-B-E. Well, FASB is really F-A-S-B. So this is not relevant agencies for GA, ASBE, and FASB. So that language is archaic in some instances and not really fleshed out with Sarbanes-Oxley, how that may relate to a nonprofit. It is. Sarbanes is relating to publicly traded companies. So that language is not really relevant. Then ability to be strong and provide strong and innovative leadership in managing organizational change, impeccable ethical standards in fiscal, legal, and administrative matters. These are difficult items to evaluate. Someone, they're subject to sort of subjective evaluation. Well, what's strong and innovative to one person might be archaic and old-fashioned to another. I prefer not to have them in job descriptions for that reason. And most HR people do or would agree. You have to keep it to the actual duties that the person is undergoing. Then they're down below, so I would take out that one. Then I would say reinsert demonstrated general management experience in nonprofit sector or private sector. Yes, that's important and should be left in. I don't know why it's struck. And the ability to provide administrative and executive director. That, I think, should go back in. And also, I like experience managing budgets of $5 million or more. Managing a small nonprofit is totally different than managing a large one. And different systems, different priorities, different problems, different what we call the five systems that every organization has to manage. And reinsert demonstrated commitment to diversity. I think that's important. Pacifica's mission is centered on diversity. I would not want to take it out. We need people that come to us with some sort of commitment or experience working with diverse staff, diverse population, diverse communities. I would reinsert capacity to conceptualize and define, communicate viable and innovative strategies. That's what I do. A good part of the time is trying to come up with financial strategies that will keep us solvent. So I think it's a critical component for CFO's job financially. Possess long-range strategic orientation and institutional vision on the financial side, and I do that, so I would reinsert it. Reinsert commitment to the mission of Pacifica, most certainly. I would reinsert strong dedication and decision-making skills. Diplomatic, yes, you have to be diplomatic in Pacifica. Otherwise, you will be demonized very quickly. Excellent judgment and ability to stay calm. Boy, yes, indeed. I think those are important items for a new person coming in the job. If they were to say to me, what do you have to be to succeed at Pacifica? I would say you do have to be able to delegate. you do have to show strong decision-making skills and be diplomatic and show good judgment. All those things are relevant, I think, to the job. Although, again, you'd have to operationalize those and say, what does that mean? Ability to read.
Lonnie, I have a question from Sarv. Sarv?
Yeah, no, I said 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. I'm sorry. Okay, 5 minute notice. Go ahead, Lonnie.
To be short, I would reinsert those deleted paragraphs. That's where you see reinserting caps. And so I'll skip going reading them all through. I won't read them all to you unless you want me to. And down there, the strong preference for CPA certification. I don't think the job does require a CPA. The auditor felt that an MBA was more appropriate, and I do. That's why I was hired. CPAs work for MBAs. CPAs are generally folks who are strong in accounting, and you generally find them as the head of accounting department. So you find sometimes they're head of finance, but they generally are tax and accounting people, and they go to school for that. But an MBA has a broader category, broader experience, and many times their expertise has to be in both finance and administration, because administrative costs and legal costs are just as important in being able to manage as mere accounting costs, because expenses and costs can come from a lot of different places in a network. And an MBA generally is trained to identify those costs in a lot of different areas and seek to manage them. I think that a lot of the stuff down here is too much. It is a lot of terms that are not defined and will cause mischief. If you try to say, well, how do you demonstrate ability to oversee a complex structure with transparency, accuracy, confidentiality, and impartiality? Well, how many people are involved in that financial structure? Well, a lot of people, from general managers to local LSBs to business managers to the board itself. If I say to the board, since I'm going to have to demonstrate an ability to manage the financial structure, I am making an edict that all governance costs will be cut in half. Well, obviously you can't manage alone a financial structure. It is composed of a lot of collaborative partners. And so if you make it the job of any single individual to demonstrate that ability, well, how will that go in a flat and a collaborative structure such as Pacifica represents? It should be something like working with others or working with a board to create a complex, to oversee. That gives a sense of that the job requires cooperation from many sectors in order to be successful. So that's what I meant. These are looking like responsibilities of the position when they are not doable, because they involve more than just one person, in this case, the CFO. So I would say these all need work. And they come from the original blurb, I believe, that was used in advertising the position. And okay. I think they could be cut down to 5 lines or so, because they are most useful in advertising the position to give a person an idea of the general capabilities that are needed. But in a working job description, once hired, I think they need to be cut down to items that can be used in an evaluation. And that's a very different issue.
Okay.
The evaluation items ought to be demonstrable. The person either did it or didn't do it. And there's little room for a subjective opinion. It's possible, although you can build that in with open-ended questions and that sort of thing, but should be based on the actual job duties of the incumbent. So anyway, I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. We're at time for this item. We had provided time for Nicole to add her comments. She's in Washington, D.C., and wasn't sure she could make it onto this teleconference. I don't know. Does anybody have, like, a cell phone for Nicole or anything? Actually, I might have one.
Oh, hold on.
I think I've got it.
Chairman, this is Sarv.
Yeah, Sarv.
Is there a possibility, Lonnie, that all the things that you want to insert, evidently this is not complete document that I have here, because it shows some in red, but a lot of what you said should be reinserted. It's not there.
Yeah. That's correct, but we do have you audio archived, and maybe if you wanted, you could send us a document with all of these recommendations. Because Sarv is correct, not everything that you've said is indicated in red on this draft.
No, they're not. You know, I did do edits to the ED job description, and I did submit what I thought was the job description of preference. I did do both. So in some ways, it feels like rather than unedit this, it might be nice. I would be happy if you take the job description I did feel reflected the CFO responsibilities I'd go with. So it's difficult unediting or editing someone else's stuff, especially this one's much longer. So I can do that if that's what you'd like me to do. We sort of redo this and do my stuff in red.
I want to know who's saying what, you know?
Yeah, that's the hard part about this.
What? Why? All right.
How do we do that? Jack, you're saying we should go through it and...
Just use different colors when you add it.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach Nicole right now. I mean, off for just a minute.
Well, excuse me, Jack. If we're going to have Lonnie to redo that and put it back in, why don't we have that done?
Yeah.
And then we can talk to Nicole at a different time.
Actually, she says she's able to get on the call. She just needs a few minutes.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, Evelyn, is the fact that if this is confusing to the rest of us, it's going to be confusing to her, I would assume.
Right.
So, I mean, the question is, can we get it done? And if there's whatever else we need to talk with Nicole about, we should go ahead and do so. But that shouldn't preclude, that shouldn't be a tit for tat back and forth on the meaning of this and meaning of that. I think we should have it done properly in the first place. And then Nicole will have a chance to look at it and give her perspective on it.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm understanding.
Well, I'm
saying that we should finish this and then get Nicole's input?
No, I'm saying that we're talking about Lonnie making it clear in terms of color code as to what he means and what Saab is talking about. And
okay.
We should do that before I don't know if it would be of any service to either one of us, to trying to discuss this matter with the confusing color codes.
Yeah, let me just observe that we're working off of four separate drafts, and that's not a good way to come to any conclusion. But it seems to have been a pretty good way to get the sentiments of the two principals whose jobs are being described. I think in this meeting and the prior meeting, we've gotten a sense of what they're thinking, so that when we look at these various comments, we know the intent behind them. But I don't think it's going to get us to where we want to ultimately be, which is just to have a draft to present to the National Board. And I think the next agenda item really is about how this committee wants to proceed in order to ultimately get there. So I'm wondering if we're ready to move the agenda and go on to that item.
Yeah, I think I go with that.
I do too.
Okay.
So I can drop off the call?
Sure. It's up to you, Lonnie. If you want to go, you can go. If you want to stay, you're welcome.
Oh, no, is Nicole coming on next? Is that the agenda?
No, I haven't been able to reach her, and I know that she certainly is aware of it.
I just spoke with her.
Oh, yes? Evelyn?
She was just coming in from dinner. She said give her about 2 minutes, and she would get on the call.
All right. In that case,
I still maintain the same question. How can we discuss this with this confusing color code?
Doesn't include all the changes Lonnie wants anyway.
Yeah.
It's not.
I thought the point was to get Nicole to speak to what her take on it was, and that was it. We weren't doing a discussion.
Yeah, but what was her take on these confusing codes?
I don't know. That's why she needs to get on the call.
Well, the codes are really just the format, and sometimes they're confusing because they're not entirely consistent. But the green, strictly speaking, are Nicole's edits. The red are Lonnie's edits. The blue are Dominguez's edits. And there's a sequence that, starting from that original document, the source of which is not clear, Dominga wrote her suggested draft for the job description, and then subsequent to that, Nicole added in green her suggested additions and deletions, and then following that, Lonnie put in red some, but not all of his suggestions.
Oh, they reinsert some mine. They're in black.
Lonnie, you're saying everything that has reinsert on it, that belongs to you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is that complete? That total of what you said, Lonnie?
No, there's some confusion, but just the color codes are different because they wouldn't do red because it was in a strikeout mode and it kept the color of the strikeout mode. Couldn't get it to go red, so I had to put it in black. The reinserts are mine.
Everybody, I'm on. This is Nicole. Please excuse me, but I've just been in a whirlwind, and besides our board member, A.C. Bird kept me way too occupied this afternoon.
Oh, that A.C.
Okay, Nicole, welcome. Are you at your computer by any chance?
You know, hi, Kat, and thank you for sending it. I've just booted it up.
Yeah.
And I'm booting up the CFO job description Nicole edits.
Well, what we've been looking at are Lonnie's edits, but if you want, we could go through your edits. And, yeah, that would make sense, I guess. And you could explain the intent behind what you've suggested.
I will drop off the call.
Sure. It's up to you, Lonnie.
Okay.
Lonnie, I'll talk to you tomorrow, huh? Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Take care.
And we have 20 minutes allotted for this item, and Sarv is getting time.
Again, sorry you pulled my chain. And thank you, Doc.
Okay. So are you ready to go? You want to just run through the document as at our last meeting?
Could you explain to me the color coding? Are my edits in green or blue or what?
Okay. Yours are in green. The original document, nobody's quite sure where it came from. It seems to be a higher letter. That's black for the most part. And then Dominga took that, edited it, made some changes which are in blue, which was the beginning point for this whole process. Then yours are in green. Some are strike-through, some are not. And then finally Lonnie's are in red if you have the Lonnie document up. Otherwise, I guess maybe we're looking at the Nicole edits. Document. Is that what you've got?
That's what I'm looking at. I'm not pulling them both simultaneously.
Maybe we should just work off the Nicole edits document and not try to confuse this.
Just a second here. Just hold it. Let's find out.
Sorry.
Nicole edits? Okay.
Yeah, Nicole edits.
All right. Go ahead.
Which there won't be any red on this one.
No red.
Just blue and green.
And is everybody on the call? Is the whole committee on the call?
Yeah, we have everyone here, and this is web-streamed, so try to avoid any confidential personnel matters. If we feel we need to go there, we can go off the stream and in the closed session. Hopefully it won't be necessary. We have Nia Bediako, Evelyn Bethune, A.C. Bird, Fia Mongaza, Sarv Randhawa, and Dominga is here, and you're here.
Greetings, everybody. Okay, does everybody have it pulled up?
Everyone have the Nicole edits?
Yes.
I think so.
I pulled up.
I don't, but my computer's giving me problems, so go ahead while I reboot.
Oh, okay.
And Dominga, congratulations again on your first day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, in the first paragraph, I had actually struck through from time to time. So that should be a strike through.
That's what we. That's what I have.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not. That's not how it appears on mine. So yeah, I think that's way too ambiguous and vague, and that was why I struck it through. Because you know what's from time to time.
966-9853-9853.
Okay.
So that was a strike through, and then I added, again, we're on that first paragraph, position reports two. I had just added the CFO shall render to, because I don't think that was in there. Going down to under definition, we have the, I had added the investment of funds. And oh, did I add that, or that might have been a strike through? See, I'm not seeing my strike throughs.
Strike through.
That's a strike through.
Right. So that's what I did. I struck through it. Because I think that that's just, I think the rationale behind that was that's a given.
Okay.
Could we, before we get too far down, this is Ifia, could you go back to the paragraph on position reports to and give your rationale for, and maybe I'm not reading it right, the deletion of the board, chief financial officer reports directly to. And it says delete both, and then the Pacifica National Board of Directors delete, and that's not making sense to me.
I didn't delete those, Afia. I kept the chief financial officer reports directly to both the Pacifica National Board of Directors and the foundation's executive director.
Okay.
Per Pacifica bylaws, the national board will evaluate, appoint, and discharge the CFO. He, she. The only thing I struck through, Afia, was from time to time, and then I added the CFO shall render to.
Let me ask my question, and that is, you have you're adding to both. Is that you're adding that, or are you taking that out?
Well, in what I'm looking at, the format's a little funny, but I believe that was added.
You're making that addition.
No. Actually, Dominga, can I say something?
Yeah.
I think
Dominga.
the confusion is with both Lonnie and Nicole, is that the document that we started out with, at first was just suggested changes between the personnel committee chair and myself. So we were playing with different formats. Lydia Brazon. But there were about four different versions of both these job descriptions that were just drafts. So then from that point, all those were just drafts. We were coming up with different versions of what the job would look like if the CFO answered to both, if the CFO didn't answer to both, if the CFO only answered to the PMB. So none of them were versions that were really job descriptions in themselves. They were all versions that we were going to present as alternate job descriptions or alternate reporting relationships. So from that point, we then had conference calls with Nicole about what the job descriptions could possibly look like. And so I picked one of the drafts with the edits, which was that one, and we went from there to see if that's what it would look like, if it reported to both.
So the one in blue are yours?
The blue is mine, yes.
Okay.
But those, I want to make clear, those are all drafts. None of them were things that we had suggested or brought up. I think they were things that we were going to start at the end of last year when the board was shutting down, I guess, or the elections were happening. Yeah.
That's correct.
So this language in blue, Dominga, is that that's your recommendation?
That was one of them.
One I'm looking at right now.
Whatever you're looking at, the blue was originally yes, me.
That's you. Okay.
Yes.
That's all I want to know.